KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:05, we have clear skies and 70 degrees. Looking for it to be sunny today with a high around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Well, a public hearing will be held in Atlantic this evening with regard to proposed changes to the ward boundaries for the city of Atlantic. The hearing takes place during the 5:30 p.m. session of the Atlantic City Council. Following the hearing, the council will hold the first reading of an ordinance establishing new ward boundaries, which became necessary once the 2010 census results were released. The required redistricting in Atlantic is the result of Ward 3 decreasing in population and Ward 5 increasing significantly as compared to the other three wards. In addition, the city clerk needs to meet the county's requirement for a supervisor district. City Administrator Doug Harris says the ideal population for each ward is 1,422, but that can vary as long as the difference between the populations of the smallest and largest wards does not exceed 10%. The state code requires the city to adopt an ordinance describing the new ward map by September the 1st. A second and third reading of the ordinance is expected to take place on August 17th. And the council will hold a public hearing tonight on a resolution granting a sewer line easement to Andrew J. Knuth, who has requested a 10-foot sewer easement on the north side of the city lot, which abuts his law office building, in order to replace his sewer line. Doug Harris said that Knuth has offered to pay the city $50 for the easement. And the Atlantic City Council is expected to act on approving the August 28th closure of Cedar Street from 2nd to 3rd for a community block party at Cedar Park that's sponsored by the First United Methodist Church. If approved, the closure will be from 5 until 7 p.m. that evening. News time is 8:07.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The turnout was very low for a special local option sales tax election, which was held in Casey and in Stewart Tuesday. A petition to hold a revote in those communities on a renewal of the penny sales tax was presented to the Adair County Board of Supervisors in mid-May, following a countywide vote held earlier that same month. None of the 10 possible voters in Casey turned out for the election, and only 75 out of 465 possible votes were cast in Stewart, with a measure passed by a vote of 55 to 20. The total voter turnout, including absentees, was just under 16%. If the voters in Stewart had failed to renew that tax, the city would have been out about $42,000 in annual revenue, while the city of Casey stood to lose just $650. In Stewart, the monies will be directed to the general fund. An extension of the 7-year local option tax will go into effect beginning January of 2012 in Stewart, Adair, Bridgewater, Fontenelle, Orient, and Greenfield. An official with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources is expected to be in Greenfield this evening to meet with citizens concerned about the possible construction of a large hog confinement feeding operation. DNR Director Roger Land will gather with members of the Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement and others who are fighting attempts by Eric Taylor to build a nearly 5,000-head factory hog farm, which ICCI says is being backed by Cargill. The group and other citizens are expected to recommend that Land deny Taylor's construction permit. The Adair County Board of Supervisors have already given a failing score on its master matrix for that project and have recommended denial of the permit to the DNR. That meeting begins at 7 o'clock this evening at the City Hall in Greenfield. The Iowa Department of Transportation reports several road construction projects will be getting underway soon in our listening area. Weather permitting, officials say work on U.S. Highway 34 between Iowa Highway 148 near Corning and Highway 25 in Creston will reduce the road to one lane until sometime early next month. A 16-foot lane width restriction will be in place in the open lane of travel. Flaggers and a pilot car will be used to control traffic during the lane closure, but during their off hours, the lane will be reopened to normal traffic flow. Work on Iowa Highway 25 between Highway 34 and Union County Road H-24 near Creston will begin tomorrow, weather permitting. The same lane width restrictions will be in place as in effect on the Highway 34 project, and a pilot car will again be used to guide traffic through the construction zone while the work is underway. That project is expected to be finished on or about August the 8th. And the DOT says the second phase of a bridge replacement project on Highway 25 south of Guthrie Center will result in a reduction of the current lane width limit restriction beginning August 11th, weather permitting. The open lane of traffic there will be restricted to loads not wider than 12 feet 6 inches. The traffic signals will be used to move the traffic through that construction zone. And that project should be finished sometime in early November. Officials of the Iowa Municipalities Workers' Compensation Association have named the city of Grant a Best Practices member. The honor was bestowed upon the community for its commitment to the adoption and implementation of rigorous safety standards, which help to contain workers' compensation costs and benefit the city's overall operations. The Grant City Council has received a monetary award as well, which will be used to further enhance safety programs, and a plaque acknowledging the achievement. The Best Practices program was developed to recognize and reward IMWCA members for meeting best practices in the area of underwriting claims and loss control. The IMWCA says the city of Grant is unique in that it only has two part-time employees who represent the traditional workers' compensation exposures on which the association largely focuses on. The city also has an active volunteer fire department, which officials say typically represents one of the largest risk exposures for the association because under Iowa law, volunteers are considered employees. Most of Grant's volunteer fire department was present for the presentation, and the recognition especially highlights the safety program in place within that fire department. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the U.S. stock futures are up one day after the Dow dropped 266 points and the S&P 500 index reached its lowest point of the year. Asian and European stocks were down today. Concerns about the economy have sent U.S. stocks lower in the past 2 weeks. Forecasters say the biggest threat tropical storm Emily is expected to bring to Haiti and the Dominican Republic is flooding. The storm is forecast to hit this afternoon, bringing up to 10 inches of rain in some places. Casey Anthony's lawyer said that she would be in danger if she had to return to Florida. A judge has told Anthony to return to Orlando to serve probation for a check fraud charge she pleaded guilty to earlier. Attorney Jose Baez tells NBC's Today Show that bringing Anthony back to Florida would add to the circus-like atmosphere around her case. Anthony was acquitted last month of killing her 2-year-old daughter. And Massachusetts is putting a limit on the number of lottery tickets a person can buy for certain games. The decision follows a report that sophisticated gamblers were buying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of tickets, guaranteeing them a profit because of a loophole. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements, 82-year-old Lucy Gatow of Council Bluffs died Sunday at the Risen Sun Christian Village in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Lucy Gatow will be today at 10:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 95-year-old Wanda Barrett of Panora died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Wanda Barrett will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. 79-year-old Irene Crozier of Coon Rapids died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Irene Crozier will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. 62-year-old Burdell Hansen of Audubon died Sunday near Audubon. Funeral services for Burdell Hansen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. 77-year-old Dorothy Ann Hansen of Atlantic died Monday at Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Dorothy Ann Hansen will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. 90-year-old Irma Blakely of Cranston, Rhode Island, died Sunday. Graveside services for Irma Blakely will be Friday at 11 a.m. in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 81-year-old Pat Ersham Keating of Casey died Sunday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Patricia Keating will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Brother James George Kearns of Stewart died Friday at the VA Hospital in Minneapolis. A gathering of family and friends and visitation for James Kearns will be held Saturday from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. And 92-year-old Wilma Billy McGill Inhofe of Woodbine and formerly of Atlantic died Sunday at the Community Memorial Hospital in Missouri Valley. Funeral services for Wilma Billy McGill Inhofe will be held on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Fouts Funeral Home in Woodbine. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Oneida, along with Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.